Welcome to No More Desire. My name's Jake Castleman. I've had personal experience with what it takes to get clean and stay clean of porn. And now I'm helping others just like you break free and step into their new life. Through one-on-one coaching, daily check-ins, and life-changing material, I help others break free of porn and never look back. To discover how you can overcome porn addiction, go to nomoredesire.com. This is Jake Castleman with No More Desire. Welcome to episode 46, Things I Can Do Each Day to Help Me Stay Clean. And today's episode actually comes from you guys. One of my listeners asked me a question recently. He sent me an email and had a really fantastic question that I wanted to take the time to address. So, here it is. He says, "Hey, I'm trying to break free from porn, and I've been addicted for about a year. What are some key things to do throughout the day so that when it comes to the time I get home, I assume from work probably, I'm not tempted beyond what I can handle? I know that the Bible says that I will never be tempted beyond what I can bear, but sometimes I feel like I can't beat it. I've taken some steps like deleting social media and focusing primarily on Christian music, but I don't know if there's any videos I should watch or things to do throughout the day that could help me. Thanks." Love, love, love this question. Thank you so much for submitting this. You guys are welcome anytime to shoot me questions like this. Or like anything else, any questions you have about recovery. I'm happy to address them personally. I sent this person a personal message, and also happy to address them here on the podcast when they're good questions that might help other people. So the first things that I want to say about this question is, way to go, man, on just on reaching out, and then also on a couple of things that you mentioned, that these changes that you've made in your life. Changes I'm familiar with. The first one is with social media. You said that you love that you've deleted social media. Or sorry, I love that you've deleted social media is what I mean to say. It's a really significant decision, guys. You know, these days, social media it's highly stimulating, right? And I don't mean in a sexual way, I just mean in a mental and an emotional way. When we get on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok and we scroll through the reels or we scroll through the videos or the posts, it is giving us a consistent stream of dopamine, right? That's a neurotransmitter, a reward chemical in our brain. And a couple of things happen. One, we really get used to this instant gratification that's really common in our culture and society these days with how technology is and how instantly accessible everything is and how quickly we can get as much entertainment as we like at any moment. So we get that consistent hit of dopamine, and that gets us slowly over time more and more used to this instant gratification, this consistent drip of dopamine. And so then we crave it, right? We want more of it. And that actually makes us more susceptible to addictions, including porn addiction. And since porn addiction is so easily accessible and so highly stimulating, that is a very common addiction that many men especially are going to. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is that we are getting a counterfeit type of connection. So we feel like we're connecting with people when we're on social media, when in reality, we aren't getting that spiritual connection. We aren't getting that one-on-one interaction or group interaction. We aren't actually connecting with people. We're just getting a counterfeit form of that connection, which then leaves us feeling very empty and also craving more. Porn does similar things. We think that we're connecting with someone on a sexual level, on an emotionally intimate level, when there is no relationship. It is fully physical, and it actually retrains our brain to look at relationships in a different way and to objectify people. We believe them to be objects of sex. And that doesn't make us bad people. It's just the way that porn interacts with the brain, which is why it's so important for us to learn how to quit through developing a recovery lifestyle and mindset, like I teach my clients to do in the structured program that I meet with them during one-on-one sessions and bring them through the program material and weekly exercises. So the other thing that I want to say is it's awesome that you've been changing the music that you've been listening to. This listener also said they've been changing the music they've been listening to. And that's that hits home for me. I want to share a personal story. So when I was about 14 years old, I started listening to heavy metal music and screamo, very intense, hard rock, what I would call very angry, dark music. And if you're someone who listens to that stuff, I totally understand it. It's very exciting. It pumps you up. It's very exciting. And so when I started doing that, it was uncomfortable for me at first, but I was doing it to fit in with my friends who were listening to that kind of music. And eventually I became more and more desensitized to it. And then I came to enjoy it and to love it and to really listen to it frequently. And it was something that became a type of drug for me, though I didn't really see it that way for many years. And so that music, what I came to find out years later, is it made me more susceptible to porn addiction, which is why I quit that music and left it behind. Now, why? Why would that be the case? Well, it's a similar reason to how social media makes us more susceptible to porn addiction. It is highly stimulating. Okay, it's very intense. Social media is highly stimulating in a different kind of way, but nonetheless, it's very entertaining. The rock music, right, especially screamo or heavy metal, something that's extremely intense, it's very high emotion. It's very, it pumps us up. It gets us to an intense level, a high, if you will. And then that makes us, it does a couple of things to us, in my opinion. When one, it's a dark music, it's an angry music. And I think that when we go into that kind of space of darkness and anger, we're much more prone to loneliness and detachment. And so we seek out things like porn to try to connect, but they don't actually help us connect with other people. And then the other thing, of course, is it just makes us more used to more exciting and highly stimulating activities. And so we seek out things like porn or video games or movies or TV, etc., right? Things that are going to be highly stimulating. So that's significant. And when I quit heavy metal and screamo, and it sounds funny because it's like I quit a drug, but it really is that way, my life became much, much better. I still have challenges in my life. I still struggle with hard emotions, but those have become significantly better since I quit heavy metal and screamo music and started listening to more mild, more peaceful, more music that's better for the brain, right? And we can break this down to psychological studies. You can see how heavy metal and screamo music impacts focus and motivation. Focus in particular makes it harder for us to focus and concentrate. Even though it can feel like we're really hyper-focused when we're listening to it, it actually is disruptive to brain waves, like beta waves and alpha waves, waves that are associated with intelligence. So when I quit that, things got better in that way. Now, the music that I listen to, I really would have balked at years ago. 10 years ago, I would not have believed it. It would have seemed just crazy to me, like sissy to me, if you will. And so what I listen to now, I actually very much enjoy. It's not exciting and really stimulating like the hard rock music was, but it's enjoyable, right? And it helps me feel good. It helps me concentrate. So that music would be like classical music. I listen to Vivaldi and Beethoven and Bach, right? And then I also listen to lo-fi and lo-fi hip-hop. And I know it might sound funny to some listeners. It's like, man, that really, that's what you listen to? And it is. And I enjoy that music. It helps me focus. I listen to it while I'm working a lot. And overall, again, it's not just when I'm listening to the music, but when I'm done listening to it, how does it affect my brain? That's always on my mind with things that I do in my life as someone who is trying to live a recovery lifestyle and have a recovery mindset. How are the activities that I'm doing affecting me long term? Listening to rock music was affecting me poorly over the days after I'd listened to it. At least that's what I began to realize when I stopped listening to it. It took me time to actually feel that difference. Now, listening to classical music, it feels good in the moment. It's not extremely exciting, but it's enjoyable, at least after I got used to it. It took me years to really get used to it and start enjoying it. It was not fun at first, but I got used to it. And then the lo-fi music is really enjoyable and nice, and both affect me positively in the long term, positively in the short term and long term. And that is most of what we want to seek for in our activities that we do each day. And if we do anything that's maybe more exciting, like a movie or something like that, we want it to be less often. We want it to be like a cherry on top of our life, just something that's kind of on the side that we do very little. At least that's what we're aiming for, right? We got to come from where we're at. What does that look like for you? What little changes can you make to move more in that direction? So I want to address something else about this question, and it's near the end of the question. So the listener asked, "The Bible says that I will never be tempted beyond what I can bear, but sometimes I feel like I can't beat it." I really connect with that. I understand that deeply. And I remember feeling that way for years. And what this listener is referring to comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a means of escape," or a way of escape. That's not the exact quote. I've modified it a little bit just so it makes sense. He will provide the way of escape. So there's a kind of two different translations brought together. But it says, God will not tempt you beyond what you can bear, and he will provide the way of escape. So how does that work, right? Because we obviously can see when we move down that funnel of addiction, when everything important in our lives mentally seems to disappear in that moment when we are faced with temptations and cravings, it's like all the other things in our life that were so important to us, all the times that we said, "I'm going to quit this porn and I'm never going to go back to it ever again. I'm never going to do this to myself. I can't do this to my family. I can't do this to me. I need to be a better man." All that disappears in that moment, and it feels like we have no choice but to give in. So how could this be true, that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, and he will provide a means of escape? So I think that we often misunderstand this verse. And here, let me tell you about how it's worked in my life and how I teach it to my clients. God provides a way for escape in as much as I remain aware and I act quickly. And so for me in my daily life, I say this little prayer fairly frequently in my life. If I ever feel cravings come on, or if I ever start to feel myself lose emotional control, right? I start to go down the path of anger or depression or hopelessness, etc. I ask God, I say, "God, help me out here, man. Direct my focus. What can I do right now to stay clean?" I just ask him like my friend, you know, at least I'm working on that, trying to have that more personal relationship with God. What do you want me to do right now? How do I stay clean? And when I ask him that often, well, I will say always when I'm willing to listen. And when I do it in advance, when I do it preemptively, right, as soon as a craving comes on, or as soon as I start to feel my emotions go, I say that little prayer. And then something will come to me. Something will come. Maybe I need to get out on a walk. Maybe I need to call up a friend. Whatever it might be. And then in other teachings in Scripture, the thing that we really need to bear in mind is there are other teachings of Scripture that tell us to remember Christ always, or to remember God always. It isn't, when it comes to withstanding temptation, it isn't so much about what we choose to do once the temptation overwhelms us. It's about all the little choices leading up to that throughout the days or the weeks or the months leading up, right? Or even that day or over a few hours of time. When we do not stay aware of our emotions and our thoughts, when we do not behave as the watchman on the tower or an observer of our thoughts, as it's taught in Buddhism, then we can succumb to temptation because we allow ourselves to move too far down that path. And so we need to reach out to God and stay aware of our thoughts. Stay aware of our thoughts. Be preemptive. Be preemptive. And that's what I teach my clients to do. And there are many ways that we can do that spiritually and mentally. There's mantras we can use. There are daily things that we can do. There are mental kinds of techniques that we can use. Different acronyms that I teach my clients to practice in their daily life. So I'm going to teach you a few things to really address this question directly further. I'm going to teach you a few things that I teach my clients to do each day during their recovery. Right before that, if you want to learn more about recovery and more about how to overcome porn addiction, go to nomoredesire.com, scroll down the page a bit, and click Get My Free Copy to get my free ebook. You'll learn a ton through that ebook of how to quit porn, where cravings come from, what addiction actually is, what are all the factors that lead to it in our lives, and what are all the factors that we need to practice in order to recover and overcome. So again, go to nomoredesire.com and click Get My Free Copy to grab that ebook. It is completely free for you, my friend. So let's talk about a few of these things that we can do on a daily basis, in addition to what we've already discussed. So I have what I call dailies in my program, and these are spiritual, physical, mental, and relational dailies. Each of us, if we want to recover from addiction, I won't say that this is a universal rule, but for the most part, I've seen it be pretty consistent amongst those who stay sober. We need to have things, routines that we have each day. They don't have to be completely rigid or the same all the time, but we need to have some kind of way that we're building our well-being in multiple factors. We're not just a physical human. We are also a spiritual human, right? A spiritual being. We're a physical being, a spiritual being. We have our mental wellness, and then we have our relationships, right? And all of these things need nurturing on a daily basis. And again, it's not going to look the same for everyone. For all of my clients, it's very individual. It looks different for each of them, what that is. So I'm just going to share with you what I do on a daily basis in hopes that it might give you some ideas or kind of a scope of what you could do. As I share this stuff, I want it to be known that I did not start out doing these things 15 years ago when I was caught up in addiction. the way I do things now did not look the same 10 years ago when I was really working hard on getting clean. It took me a long, long time to practice and to get disciplined and to make these things I do every day a way of life. So just be easy on yourself as you listen to me talk about these things. Understand that it takes time, it takes practice. Where I am now was a long road, and I needed to have a lot of self-compassion, and I was not at all perfect at self-compassion, that's for certain. But I needed to have some understanding that I would, it would take practice to get consistent. It took time, and I didn't have quite the capacity that I do now. It just builds. It builds. And as you're patient with yourself and you say, I'm working towards the goal of doing these things every day, then if you have that self-compassion, it can help you move along one step at a time and be more motivated to make good habits in your life. So these things I do each day, mostly they are done in the morning. For me, I have a spiritual routine. When I wake up, first I brush my teeth, and then, but you don't really need to know that. And then I start into my spiritual activities. So the first thing that I do is I start reading of the Word of God or some inspirational scripture. That could come in multiple forms. And I do that for about 15 minutes. And then I pray, and I take 15 minutes for prayer. And again, this is how this looks now. Even a few months ago, it looked a little bit different than it does now. And 15 minutes for prayer may sound like a long time. I totally understand that. It took me a long time to kind of build that ability to focus and build that patience to sit there and pray. But it brings me so much strength. That 30 minutes changes my life. Without it, I would not be clean. So it's that time to connect with God. It's powerful. It's meaningful. I wake up early enough in order to provide that time because I know it defines the rest of my day. I need that time to connect with God. And without it, I just simply can't do the other things in my life that I want to do. I can't feel motivated like I want to feel. I can't have the, I want to say ease. Sometimes life isn't easy, of course, but it's easier by taking that 30 minutes in the morning in order to give myself that anchor in God and that closeness with Him. And then after that, I move into my mental routine, which is just 15 minutes, and it is journaling, taking a moral inventory, writing down my feelings and things. So I have a specific process I go through for that. Same exact process I have my clients do. Very specific questions about strengths and weaknesses and things that are fueling those weaknesses and strengths, gratitude and some other types of questions that you go through in order to really get real about your problems and challenges and ways that you're making mistakes or falling short, and to get real about the things that you're doing really well in life. So I go through that process for 15 minutes. That's a good kind of mental daily for me to get more structured, more aware, more at peace. And then I move into my physical routine. So I head out to the gym for about a half hour and get a workout in. For me, that looks like weightlifting. It could look different for each person. For me, that gets endorphins going. It helps me feel good. It helps me feel fit and strong. I enjoy weightlifting, so it works well for me. And then I head home, of course, and do all the normal things that most of us do, which is shower and getting a good breakfast. And I will say that breakfast is part of the physical routine. For me, my diet is very important to me. The way that I eat determines the way that I feel. And therefore, if I want to be more aligned with a recovery mindset, I need to eat well in order to fuel that recovery mindset. So that's spiritual, physical, and mental dailies that I do. And then there are relational dailies. And those are pretty personal to me. I have goals that I'm working on in my marriage and as a father and a husband. Each week, you know, that could look a little bit different. Right now, you know, I'm really working on my wife and I, you know, we've come to understand things about each other as far as our needs, our love languages, right? And they look very different between the two of us. For me, my love language is acts of service. You know, I really appreciate acts of service and words of affirmation. And for my wife, it's more so quality time and physical touch. Those are the things that mean the most to her. And so right now, my current goal, I guess I'm just sharing about my personal life here. Hopefully you don't mind, and hopefully it's helpful to you. But right now, my current goal is to really focus on that quality time and those words of affirmation each day for her, to make sure when I'm around that I'm doing that. Because typically my go-to would be, I'm going to do the dishes, I'm going to clean up, I'm going to get things done around the house because that will mean the most to my wife, because that's how I show my love, because that's how I would want to be showed love, at least in part, right? And for my wife, a lot of times, that's not what she needs. What she needs is, instead, let's leave the kitchen, you know, a mess, if it's a mess, and let's sit down and chat and hang out and laugh together and, you know, play a little word game or something like that, or a, you know, the New York Times Wordle or something of that effect, or, you know, let's just sit down and watch a TV show or whatever it happens to be, right? Or hang out with our son and play. So really focusing on that lately and having that be my daily, my relational daily, my relationships. So I hope those things help, my friend. Again, if you want to know more about recovery, please go on and download my ebook. It is completely free to you, nomoredesire.com. You'll see it there on the homepage. In addition, if you want to take recovery to the next level, if you want to get serious about it, become a part of my intensive recovery program. I am a professional recovery mentor. I work with multiple clients, and I help people every day walk their journey and in developing a recovery lifestyle and mindset so that they can overcome porn addiction for good. So join in that program. Go to nomoredesire.com/coaching. I'd love to see you there, my friend. And very last thing, rate this podcast. That helps me out a ton. If you enjoyed this episode, please go on and rate the podcast so that more people can get access to this episode, to this podcast, who need help. God bless and much love. Everything expressed on the No More Desire podcast are the opinions of the host and participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of a qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.